Right, well, now it's time for Question of the Week. And this week's question has a distinctly weather-like flavour, following our weekend of gales.
This is Jade Forrester from Leamington Spa. I've always wondered about the old saying, red sky at night, shepherd's delight, red sky in the morning, shepherd's warning. Why do we get red sky, and how does this saying predict the weather for the next day? Thanks, you guys!
And there have been some spectacular sunsets this week, but what do they all mean?
My name is John Hammond, forecaster at the Met Office. Well, we get red skies, and of course here in East Anglia, the skies are pretty impressive because the lack of hills or mountains mean we see so much of them as well, but we principally get these red skies because of how light is reflected and bounces around, basically, in the atmosphere. Now, we get them mostly, of course, first thing in the morning or last thing in the evening. It's basically because the sun is so low, all the other elements of the spectrum, if you like, right the way down towards those blues and indigos, are being bounced around the atmosphere, leaving behind those that are the oranges and the reds. You need, of course, the angle of the sun to shine from underneath the cloud up towards the base so you can see it from the ground. But when you've got higher cloud, then you've got more chance to do that. Now, when you get higher clouds, what often can be the case is that you've got clouds called cirrus clouds, or cirrus stratus, or autocumulus clouds, which are fairly high in the atmosphere. So they're anything sort of from, say, for example, 10,000 feet right up towards 30,000 feet. Now, these clouds themselves can be the forerunner to a weather system coming in off the Atlantic Ocean. And then overnight, of course, that cloud lowers as the front, this weather system moves in from the Atlantic Ocean and brings us a spell of rain or even perhaps snow during the winter, of course, as well. And, of course, you get the converse effect during the course of the morning when you have red sky in the morning, shepherd's warning, which I suppose is not very good news if you've got sheep and you want them to keep dry during the day because, of course, that means red sky in the morning, the cloud's going to lower, so you'll be getting rain, but during daylight hours rather than darkness.
So when you have higher cloud coupled with the sun at a low angle, you are much more likely to get red skies. And that high cloud can often be indicative of impending rain. So if you get red sky in the evening, the rain might come during the night and leave you with a dry sunny day afterwards, whereas red sky in the morning means rain during the day.
Now, we had some discussion about this on our forum, about the direction that this takes. And Giza said, because if you have the sun setting in the west, the only way the light can hit the clouds above an observer is if there aren't any clouds far off in the west to obscure the sun. Because the weather in the UK comes to us from the west, it could be an indicator of clear skies coming our way. So a rising sun in the east would pick out red clouds if they were moving in.
And our meteorologist actually said that this red sky prediction can be used just about anywhere in the world. So it's not always true, but you can get it to work with some high clouds and low sun. Well, next week's question is also about reds.
Hello, I'm Karina from Quito, Ecuador. And my question is, why white wine is served chilled and red wine is served at room temperature?
What would happen if you served a cold red wine and a lukewarm white? I think we need to test this one on someone who doesn't drink wine, maybe. Help us to answer this question by email, chris@thenakedscientist.com, or write on the forum and our special website for discussion, and that's thenakedscientist.com/forum.
It's actually highly appropriate that you mention that, Diana, because next week I'm actually off to Adelaide in Australia. And that's actually one of the world's top winemaking regions. So I'll be meeting some scientists who are actually studying what makes the best grapes for winemaking and also how to stop bushfires from spoiling a fine vintage. I'll also be taking a tour of a brand new facility that's going to study how plants grow. And this is amazing. They all get moved around on conveyor belts and studied by lasers and things. So if you want to find out how that happens and how it works, join me next week as I pay a visit to some of Adelaide's top scientists. Now, meanwhile, something else very important is that The Naked Scientist has been selected as a finalist in this year's Podcast Awards. We've been here 4 times now. So if you want to see if you can help us to win this time, then do please, if you like what we do, give us a vote. You go to podcastawards.com, and if you scroll down to the bottom of the screen, down on the bottom left, and put a tick in the Naked Scientist box, and then validate your vote with an email, then with a bit of luck, maybe this time we'll actually get through. Production this week was by Ben Vowsler, Dave Ansell, and Diana O'Carroll, and I'm Chris Smith. Until next time, thank you for listening, and goodbye!
The Naked Scientist podcast comes to you from Cambridge University and is supported by the Wellcome Trust, the EPSRC, and UK FAST. For more information, look us up online at nakedscientist.com.